Blog Talk Radio.
And a pleasant Thanksgiving day to you. Every day is Thanksgiving. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about being thankful for just the day that we're in. And we want to share a little more love with you. We're going to have a feast of words this morning. And so even as I pulled my way away from the kitchen, away from those sweet potato pies that's laying and being made, oh my God, every day is Thanksgiving. I'm so thankful this morning. We've got Reverend up on the line. He's going to help you to up your day. That's right, Reverend James L. Jeff Lee, all the way from the city of San Francisco. And we're down here in Atlanta, GA. This is Carl with a K. I'm back, baby. I got something to say. I used to live in L.A. and I was born in Washington. But one thing about it, I'm in Atlanta, GA, and it's Thanksgiving Day. We're giving thanks this day. But you want to know, I give thanks every day. We're here to help somebody. We're going to make it work in the midst of such turmoil and trial and trouble. How in the world can you give thanks? Reverend Up, just share it with them. Break them off a little something this morning. They're waiting to hear.
Good morning, Reverend Carl. Good morning, Reverend Carl. Good morning to everybody
morning,
out
sir.
There.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too. You know, we are bookmarking gratitude. We are the what are the two things that sit on the outside of the books? The book holders, the, you know what I'm talking about? Well, the bookends. We are the,
oh, the
bookends
bookshelf.
Of gratitude
yeah,
this
the
morning,
book
right?
The bookends, exactly. Yeah.
Right, East Coast, West Coast, and we're feeling gratitude up in the middle. So I want to start by saying I am grateful for you for stepping up and doing your show and bringing people out there. And I love your show, Help Somebody, right? That's really what it's all about. If you want to dial up gratitude, if you want to dial up thankfulness, go out and help somebody. Helps. It doesn't matter. You don't have to save the whales or cure cancer. You just have to be willing to help somebody. And as they say, charity begins at home. Help yourself.
Yes,
do
sir.
Something for you each day and do something for others each day. And that will help instill a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness. You know, when you asked me to do this, you posted something on my timeline on Facebook about all of the things going on in the world right now. And sometimes, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff happening. And there's a scripture, Romans 12:2, that says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I would be so bold as to add to that, also be transformed by the replenishment of your heart.
Yes.
As we look at the news, the paper, the TVs, the Twitter, everything happening, on the planet these days, it's easy to be conformed to the world and to sink into the depths of despair and gloom and doom, because that's what sells, that's what the media promotes, is all the terrible stuff that's going on. And I am so thankful for you and so many of my Facebook friends who are constantly posting positive messages out there or positive stories of how somebody is helping somebody somewhere, because that allows me to renew not only my mind but also replenish my heart and my spirit and see there is good in the world. There are people doing wonderful things out there, and that gives me something to be grateful for.
Yes, indeed, man. And I think the heart of the matter is, like you say, It's the number one killer is heart disease. And so when we're not at ease in our heart, we have dis-ease. And it seems like the world, man, they just pour that stuff on us to, you know, make us get ill at ease. And go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish, my brother.
Yeah. And what my question is, how do we stop? How do we unplug and find something to give thanks for?
It's in what you just said, unplug.
Oh.
Lynn Grabhorn wrote a book called Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting. And in it she said something very striking. She said, you get what you focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm sitting there glued to the news channels, right? Hours and hours on end. If I'm sitting there watching the negative stuff on in the blogosphere and whatever in the newspaper and the radio and talk radio, I'm not saying don't be informed. I'm saying don't be conformed to the negativity that is constantly bombarding us. So one way to dial that down is to unplug from it. Mm-hmm. Don't want a news blackout, right?
Right.
If there's something going on that you need to know about, one of your friends will tell you.
They will.
Or you'll look up in the sky and see it coming. And by that point, it's, you know, nothing you can do. But just go on a news blackout for 24 hours. Don't watch it. Don't read it. Don't listen to it. And just notice how you feel. You might have some withdrawals, especially if you're a news junkie. But trust me, you're going to be okay. So unplug from it. Second thing is if you are surrounded by any negative people, people who are consistently griping and complaining and whatever, do not engage them in an argument. Do not engage them in I'm going to debate them about how they're wrong. No, they're addicted to drama. They will suck you in, and next thing you know, you're upset. Just when they say something, just go, oh, well, that's nice. And, you know, bless you and move on.
Amen.
Move on. And then start to surround yourself with people who are constantly or consistently happy and positive and you know, doing helpful things in the world. You got to shift your environment. Somebody said if you can't change your friends, change your friends.
you can't change them individually, but you can change yourself away from them.
Exactly. Go find some new friends who are happier. And it's not like you have to curse them and say, you're too negative for me. Just say, you know what? You are where you are, and where you are is not where I need to be right now. That's not a conversation you have to have with them. It's a conversation you have to have with yourself.
Right, right. I think a lot of them suffer from a myopia, that narrow vision. They only see the stuff up close. And one of my buddies, man, I mean, he's a good dude at heart. But every time you talk to him, man, he's always talking about something negative. And you could start off talking about some of the best, how to invest, how to get a return on your money, how to build a business, how to be entrepreneurial, how to fix things. And next thing you know, well, man, you know, those people, they don't never do this and never. And I was like, you know what I did today, man? I made a list of all the cities I want to visit in 2013, starting with Dubai, okay? I want to go to Amsterdam and London. And man, I start talking all these different cities in South Africa and West Africa and Singapore and Australia and Bangkok. Man, I was talking all that stuff. And the next thing you know, that guy, he was like, yeah, man, you ain't going without me.
You know, that is beautiful, and I am looking forward to seeing pictures on your Facebook page from all those cities that you will visit in 2013.
Yes, sir. I've told
somebody posted something about don't bash what you hate, promote what you love.
Yes, and even in our subconscious and our conscious mind, you know, our public world, our private world, the stuff that we feed our private world, our conscious is our public world, but our subconscious is the stuff that we think and we feel at heart and our true intentions. In fact, that's why lie detectors work so well, because they register the lie inside of our body and in neurons and then our language and it actually can register on a machine, so you know what it's doing on the inside of us. Person, they put it like this, is that whatever you feed your subconscious, you feed it, it's going to materialize. And so if you say, and you, it's just like when you go to Google and you Google, I don't want to see car crashes. Well, Google's not going to pay any attention to the don't. They're going to give you lots and lots of pictures of car crashes. But then you tell yourself, I don't want to see car crashes. But it doesn't take the negative. It only takes the affirmation, the positive of what you're asking for. And so the very thing that we don't want, we tend to attract, because we're speaking that negative thing to our subconscious. Subconscious takes the order. He says, your wish, my command.
Absolutely. You know, there's that movie The Secret, and there's been a lot of talk the last few years about the law of attraction, and you know, science even is starting to quantify what that movie is talking about, and what that whole book and thought is talking about, is that thoughts become things. There's a vibration. Everything is energy, and all energy vibrates at certain frequencies, and we can attract, like attracts like. Not opposites attract, like attracts like. And so by the vibration of my thoughts, the vibrations of my emotions, I am attracting all of the other things in the world that are operating at that vibration. And so I was preaching one morning in San Francisco, and we were talking about prayer. And I said, you know, the one thing you have to understand about prayer, it's not what you think it is, or at least this is my understanding of it. Mm-hmm. There was a book by Greg Braden called The Spontaneous Healing of Belief, and another one called The Secret of the Lost Mode of Prayer. And in it, he goes to Tibet, someplace up in the mountains, and he goes on a trek to a monastery, and he's sitting there listening to some monks pray. And he asks his translator, what are the words of their prayer? What are they saying? I want to know what they're saying when they pray. And they waited till they finished, and the guy asked the head monk, you know, and he told him, and he said, all right, what did he say? What did he say? What are the words? He said, you will never hear our prayers.
Mm.
You will never hear the words of our prayer, because the words aren't important. It's not about the words. It's about the vibration. All the chanting that we're doing, all the singing and the humming, all of that creates a vibrational state whereby we manifest that which is of the same vibration. And right. So whenever you say bless you, that is a prayer. Whenever you say curse you, that is a prayer. Whenever
right.
you say, oh man, this sucks, this is terrible, I hate this, you know what
right.
that is? That's a prayer.
Yes.
Don't think of a prayer as I'm going to get on my knees and ask as a lesser being and ask some higher being for a thing to be done to me. I
so
am
you don't
the
think,
one
you don't, you
doing
don't think
it
we
to me.
Have like a genie ideal of God? We rub him the right way and he appears? Right.
You know,
right.
I've never heard it put like that. But no. My, you know, you believe what you want to believe, and belief is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. I don't doubt that at all. The question is, what do you believe, and what's
yes.
the impact on you? I am the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a thing that I am doing. The vibrational state that I'm in, the moment when I utter the thought, when I utter the word, that is a prayer. And so don't pray for peace. Pray as peace. Don't pray for abundance. Pray as abundance. You've got to be in an abundant state. You can look around and you go, well, I don't have any money in my bank account, or my funds are low, or I can't pay this bill right now. And you can pray as lack and attract more of that. So rather
right.
than focusing on what you don't have, find one thing in your life where you can look at it and go, well, you know what? At least I got that.
Yes.
Great. Focus on that. What do you
mm-hmm.
have right now? You may
right.
not have everything you want, but you know what? You're alive. Nobody's hurling rockets at you right now. You're
right.
not in a war zone. You're not sitting
right.
in a foxhole somewhere. You're not barricaded in a building wondering, oh, my God, are they going to break in and kill me at any moment? That is not your reality. Your reality is, hey, you know what? I'm standing in the kitchen cooking some sweet potato pies. Be thankful as the pie. Be thankful as the cook. Be thankful for the fact that you have some food. And you know what? If that's not your circumstance, if you don't have food right now, there are places where you can go in your city where they are giving away a free meal. So be thankful that you have 2 feet to be able to walk you to the place where they will give you the free meal. There is always something to be grateful for.
Always, always. And I think one of the things you were directing us to is the difference between doing and being. And
yes.
we're not human doing life. We're humans being life. And as we be that thing called life, then we fulfill life to the fullest potential and actualize and begin to example the magnanimity or the magnanimous side of life, the grandness, the greatness, the fullness, even if I have to live in a refrigerator box underneath the freeway pass, man, I still have life. It may
yes.
not be the most grand life that I could live if I was, you know, hanging out at the White House or at the Ritz-Carlton or something. But the thing is that even those people who may be in some of those places, they, like you say, they may not have your health.
Exactly. There's always something to be grateful for. And so one of the things that, and you know, I don't always practice this, and when I'm reminded that I don't, then I go back to it. When you wake up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
don't think about your calendar or the meetings you got to go to or any of that stuff. The first thought is be grateful for something.
Right.
Right?
I woke up.
I'm grateful for waking up.
Yes.
There are some people who didn't get to do that today.
Right.
Right? I'm going to go downstairs and fix some breakfast. Okay, you have stairs to go down.
Right.
You have breakfast to cook. Whatever your thing is. Dr. King said, you know, if a man is called to be a street sweeper,
right.
he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted portraits or Beethoven composed music or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well.
Go ahead. Just sweep it
right.
well. And we've got somebody else on the line from the West Coast, another cook that done took a break from her kitchen. Talk to us this morning, the cook in Seattle.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to my brother.
It's
a great day. Good to hear you. Thanks for taking time. You got about 45 seconds. Give us what you got.
Every day, like you said, we do have to be thankful for what we have. And you know what? If we don't like our situation, let's change it. I mean, it's so easy. Just change it if you don't like what's going on in your surroundings. So just change it or help somebody else. And just we have to be doers, and we have to encourage and pick each other up and just do it, you know. It's like
That's
I'm getting ready to go in this
Gina.
Kitchen and finish making my pies.
Get on.
And
now tell me this. I know this thing is always plaguing me, Gina. And one of the things I kind of work with and I'm dealing with is the necessity for me trying to be perfect. Tell me about how is it that we are so obsessed with making things perfect? Why is that?
Well, you know, I mean, because they tell us that in a storybook, you know, even as a little child, you got the princess. I remember when I was little, I saw a Barbie doll. I didn't look like that Barbie, and I never liked Barbie. Because I couldn't relate to a Barbie doll. And you know, our father, he didn't even care about buying us toys. You know, go outside and play with, you know, Mother Nature, the sticks, the rocks, and all that.
Right.
But it's an image that they set up, and it's false. And it that false hope, and it makes people, you know, fail because they think that, oh, I need to have, you know, this perfect, everything needs to be perfect, my eyes, my nose, my body shape, you know.
Yes.
And it's not. So we have to work with what we have.
Yes.
Make it work.
Just make it work. In fact, we force it to work. We kind of mold it out and perfect it even as we go along. Because even a lot of things in life, we just don't have all the answers to. And just most recently, I had a challenge with my health. And there were some times there when we begin to doubt. So even with Reverend James, what do you do when you come across stuff and you got to do like on-the-job training? You just don't have all the answers.
Well, I know I don't have all the answers, but I know I can find them if I need them. And I know that there are lots of different places to go. Wherever you, whatever you want to do, you know, I mean, think about this. Just think about today. There are a lot of people out there right now who are cooking something.
Yes.
Some of them didn't know how to cook that.
Right.
They go, okay, I need a recipe for this.
Yes.
Okay, well, or I lost that sheet of paper my mama gave me, right, about how to cook that pie. So,
right,
you know, where
right,
did they
right,
go?
Right.
They went to the internet, or they called their mama, or they called a friend, or they looked it up someplace. The information is out there. Whatever you want to have, do, or be, somebody is having, doing, or being that.
Mm-hmm.
They have done that, and they've written a book about it, or a CD, or a tape, or a blog post, or a video, or something. So whatever you want to learn, it's available to you. Whatever you want to do is available to you. I'm not saying it's easy. Snap your fingers, presto, change-o, easy. Yeah, you may have to work for it. Richard Bach said, you're never given a dream without also being given the power to make it come true. But
wow.
You may have to do some work for it.
Wow. So even in the midst of that, and you're in the kitchen right now, Gina, working up. Where do you store your recipes, and do you have to even kind of dig things out or make things up on the fly? Say, like if you run out of cream and you have to use milk. What happens in those occasions when you have to substitute? Huh?
Well, I'm blessed because our father was a chef, and I was blessed to be around a lot of cooks. So I've been cooking for a long time. But if you do, just like last night, I'm making my cornbread, and I ran out of milk. I didn't know there was no more milk here. So I had whipping cream. I diluted the whipped cream. You make do, you know, if you,
mm-hmm.
you just have to make do, or if I really need that ingredient, guess what? The stores are open. Get in my car and go. I needed more baking powder. So I was making do with the milk, but I didn't have the baking powder to make that cornbread rise. That cornbread has to rise. In my recipes, even with the internet, if I want new ideas, I Google. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Last night, my nephew came over. He'd never made sweet potato pies. And he came over and I taught him. And he was just elated because I showed him how, step by step, how to make it. So the answers are there, you know. And we can keep searching, you know. Just like you say, you have them family recipes, and I have. I was just given by one of my foster moms. She must have just given me like all of her recipes and her mother. So I have tons of recipes that I can look through, but we could. Critique them, you know, you may add this or try this, but the answer is always there. So we can't get frustrated and say, oh, well, I don't know. And hands-on learning is the best learning. Call somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, and get them family recipes. I can't stand somebody to say, you say, oh, how'd you make this cake? Oh, I can't tell you. It's a secret. No, it's not.
Now, how about a recipe for life? And making a life and making living, because we're coming down on the last 6 minutes, and this show is to help everybody. And so we're going to transform these last few minutes into a time then we can transfer the weekend night fling thing into the essence of who we are. We had a good time at the Holiday Inn Express, but now we want to express that same feeling all through our life. How can we transform the recipe for the pie from grandmama through our generation to the next generation? And how do we transfer the weekend night all the way so Saturday becomes Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to every day I'm giving thanks? Take about a few minutes, and then we're out of here. We're back to those pies. Reverend James, it's your turn.
Oh, that was for me. I'm sorry. I thought you were asking my sister. All right. Well, just to extend the cooking analogy, you know, if you want it to turn out a certain way, you need a certain recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And you need the proper environment. You know, if the recipe calls for cooking it at, you know, 325 degrees, well, you need to set your oven to 325 degrees. right? 300,
right.
You know, may not do it. 400 may not, probably not going to do it. You're going to burn. So you've got to create a proper environment for it. You have to have the right ingredients for that. And I think it's the same way with life. The cool thing is that life mimics cooking, cooking mimics life, because there are times you may not have exactly what you want, but you
mm-hmm.
may have what you need, and you may have to exert some effort to go get something that you absolutely want or need, or you may have to make do, as the sister said. You may have to make do with what you have. Well, I got some cream. I don't have milk, so let me dilute that a little bit. Okay, snap, it works. That's an opportunity. I think whenever we sense that there's something lacking, that's an opportunity to expand our creativity. Take lemons, as they say, and make lemonade. That's an opportunity
to
do something different.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, but so many times in life, and it's sad that we want to make an excuse, you know, about something, and we people would try to take a shortcut to say that, well, I'm not going to go on and further my education. Oh, I decide to take a shortcut of doing something illegal. Then you get in trouble. Okay? So we have to take control of our body. One thing my father would always say to me, he said, you have to know what's wrong with your body. He said, because when you go to the doctor, what does the doctor ask you? They give you a survey. What's wrong with you?
Right.
So we are in control. God has blessed us. Okay? So let's take control, and plan your roadmap. You know, just like back to the cooking, your recipe. Say, these are my goals. This is what I want to achieve. Okay, I want to be able to own a home. I need to further my education so that I will be able to have a good job. So we can't make excuses. You know, stop being on a pity wagon. Oh, poor me, I don't have this.
And one of the things. Go ahead.
Go on.
No, one of the things that the poor me, the pity wagon, hanging out at the merry-go-round cafe, drinking a cup of somebody done me wrong, another song, and all those kind of things. But I think it comes down to a point where we either operate out of fear or out of faith. And either way it goes, your body is going to carry those things out. And so as we live our life and we go through this thing and we have our recipes, and we come to these points. You can go so far. You make the recipe, you put it together, and you put it in the oven. How do you let go? Take about 1 minute. You all got 1 minute apiece. Go with Gina, Reverend James, and then I'll close it out. We're out of here. How do you let go?
Well, you let go. You have faith. You know, you put it all together, and you say, okay, I'm going to let it cook. And then along that route, if you may taste it and it needs more seasoning. And that's just how life is. And even if it falls, if your cake falls or it crumbles or whatever, guess what? You still may eat it because it still has some good ingredients in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for me, if the oven's working properly, I put it in there, I know it's going to cook. You know, there's nothing else for me to do. I have done my part. Now the stove has to do its part. And so to extend that back out to life, we are always cooking.
Yeah.
We are always making recipes. Every thought is a recipe. It's an ingredient to this meal that is our life. And so the question is, what am I putting in my recipe? What am I cooking? If my thoughts are constantly negative and down and depressing, well, you know what? That's what I got. I got this negative down fallen souffle. So somewhere I've got to change my thoughts, because as the master teacher said, as you believe, so it shall be done unto you.
Wow.
That's
going to get sick.
Right.
That's
it. And we're coming down to the last minute. I thank you both for taking time from y'all's busy day and joining us right here on Can We Be Real, because you both have kept it real. You kept it live. You gave us a reason to keep on keeping on. And my closing thoughts from Help Somebody. You can find me on Twitter at Help Somebody. You can find me on Facebook. I'm Carl with a K, last name White, better known as Help Somebody. And my advice to you is just be grateful. Anyway, if you can hear, if you can think, if you can walk, if you can talk, if you can live, if you can have anything in life, everything is going to be all right. It's going to work together. Even if I don't get the great job, the house, the car, and all my bills paid, because I am knowing that I'm a winner already. It was 200 million to one for me to be born. The first day I graced this place with my face, I was born a winner. So learn and grow and go through this journey we call life to bring out the winner that's in you, the winner that's in me. There's no victim mentality. Just go forth, be grateful, give thanks, move in the expression of life, and example your greatness. Love somebody and help somebody. Until we meet again.